Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
The bicycle retail sector in Ireland is experiencing a dynamic phase at the moment, characterised by a shift towards e-bikes and a strong emphasis on sustainability and community engagement. But following a boom during the pandemic years, is the local bike shop still as healthy as before? I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Ryan Hanratty. He's a director and owner of Penny Farthing Cycles here in the city of Dublin. Michael Fearon also joins us. He's the co-owner of Cycle Superstore. And joining us from Cork is the co-owner of the Edge Sports Superstore, and he's Simon Worley. So you're all very welcome to the programme. Michael, I might start with you. Your business has three strands. Will you tell us about them, please?
Hi, Bobby. Yeah, we have a retail store in Tallaght, about 30,000 square foot of retail space. We also have a web shop attached to that, which is distributed all over Ireland and the greater of Europe. And then we would have a distribution centre down the road where we distribute brands exclusively to Ireland, the island of Ireland.
Okay, so you're selling to other, in that third part of the business, you're selling to other bike retailers?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about your own take on the state of the marketplace? Because I know there was a lot of change during COVID, Michael. I think that was the last time you were on here talking to me. And where the marketplace is now?
Well, that's a good question. So obviously COVID was the boom. So after every boom, what comes? A bit of a bust.
Right. So
we had a case of undersupply and overdemand. Back in COVID, you could nearly sell a picture of a bike. And then it came to oversupply and under demand. So the demand stopped after COVID, because I think anyone who wanted a bike got a bike. Even anyone who didn't probably want a bike got a bike, because it became the thing. So then demand softened, but the supply chain did not stop.
Right.
All the orders have been put in. They wanted us to forecast orders for 4 years in advance. It just went bananas, Bobby. Absolutely.
Okay. Stay with us and I'll introduce our second two guests. Ryan Hanratty is with me here in studio from Penny Farthing Cycles, not a million miles from where we speak. Ryan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Morning, Bobby.
Tell us a little bit about your business, set up by your parents in 1976. So going a good number of years.
Nearly 50 years in business, yeah. So originally, I'm the fourth generation that's in the bicycle trade. My great-grandfather set up Duff Cycles, which is a different name of a bike shop.
Okay. Was that at the same location?
It was in Summerhill, actually.
Okay.
And that's where my mother was introduced to bikes, as long as my uncles and with my uncles and stuff. But then in 1976, they opened up the Penny Farthing Cycles with my mum and dad. And they ended up having about 9 shops over the years. And right at the moment, we're on 82 Lower Cam Street, so we just have one big shop where we focus on everything there. So
and maybe just tell us a little bit about, I suppose, the mix of sales within that shop on Camden Street.
Yeah, well, we cater for everyone. So we have everything from kids' bikes and we have e-bikes, so a lot of commuting bikes, sports bikes, mountain bikes. So we kind of make sure we have something for everybody. Nice friendly faces.
Yeah.
Introduce people to cycling, and then, when they're getting their second and third bike, we have something for everyone that's, better bikes.
We hear a lot of talk about the e-bike. Is that something that's showing its head in terms of your overall sales mix?
Massively, yeah. I think, maybe in the next 5 years, I'd say 40% of people will be on them at least. It's really the price that's keeping people from buying them at the moment. They're still quite expensive, but the bike to work scheme really helps that.
We're going to talk about that in a second, but before we do, let me bring in our third guest, Simon Worley, the co-owner of the Edge Sports Superstore in Cork. Simon, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me on today. So if I give you a bit of background.
Absolutely, if you would.
Relative newcomers compared to Michael and Ryan, but we've opened basically back in 2007. I was working as a software engineer. My wife was working as a geologist in the oil industry. And we left our jobs, moved to Cork and opened the Edge Sports. So We are a specialist cycling, running and swimming shop. So we're not just bikes, but we're the biggest bike shop outside of Dublin, I would say.
Yeah, and I'm interested to to talk to you, Simon, about, you know, as you say, you're not just bikes. What was the idea around grouping cycling, swimming and outdoor pursuits, as I understand it?
Yeah, so, you know, we started off as quite a niche, a specialist triathlon store.
Right.
So that's what links the three sports. We actually have expanded a little bit more and brought in a bit of surf in the last 10 years, we'll say. But it's really the endurance sport, you know, just getting outside as well. When we opened our superstore in 2011, allowed us to really specialize in all three disciplines, you know, and really kind of bring a level of product selection and in-store staff expertise to the market.
Well, if you're okay today, we'll focus on the cycling end of things. So tell us a little bit about your own operation, what type of bikes you're stocking and selling.
Again, both Michael and Ryan, we do everything. What has fallen off since the pandemic is the lower end. We used to be able to bring in some just more entry-level bikes, Bobby, but now they've kind of fallen away. It's very hard to get hold of the lower price point now. So you know, we've surrendered that market to the likes of Smiths, we'll say, who are actually next door to us in Cork. But we would have everything from, you know, a children's bike all the way up to you know, all the way up to whatever level they want to go to, really. E-bikes have been, you know, the last few years, the pandemic definitely saw an increase in them. They were kind of very slow before that. But since then, they've really taken off, and they do give a lot more mobility. You can arrive to work without being totally sweaty, but you've still had a workout, you've been in the outdoors, you know, it's great for...
And there's a lot of hills in Cork, which probably helps.
There is, exactly.
Right. Excuse me. Michael, I said we were going to talk about the back to the bike to work scheme. Cynics would say that's just increased the price of a bike. What would you refute that?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it hasn't increased the price of the bike at all. No, the increase in the price of the bike over the last few years has been down to, after the pandemic, cost of raw materials, cost of transport, Brexit, add it all into the pot, and that's why the bike has increased over the last few years. It has nothing to do with the bike to work scheme.
Okay. And what then is the typical, Simon talked about it there, but the typical entry level, for a bike, and I know you can come in at any level, but you know, an affordable option would be what?
Are you talking about an e-bike or mechanical?
Mechanical.
Mechanical bike, you'd want to be paying 500 or 600 euro for an adult bike.
Yeah.
Entry.
You also mentioned that during COVID, everybody bought a bike. I think I'm on my second bike in 20 years, and I use it quite a lot. So it's, and I don't know if I'm typical of the marketplace, but is it something you buy and you maintain and you forget about for 10 years?
There is a bit of that, yeah. What happened with the price increase and with the whole COVID thing, people have been holding on to their bikes and getting them repaired and keeping them serviced rather than twisting for a new bike as quickly as they did, let's say.
Yeah.
Bike tour scheme is obviously huge. You can do it every 5 years or 3 years, I can't remember. And that would generally be the life cycle of a bike. So when it comes time to avail the bike tour scheme, they'll go again, you know, and they'll buy a new bike at that.
And what is there? Would you have, even in a crude way, would you have a percentage around the amount of customers that are availing of the bike to work scheme? It's quite high, as I understand it.
It would be high, yeah. I don't know what the lads would think, but I would think it's 60% at the moment.
Is it? Wow. Well, that shows it's working.
At that level, Bobby, it's working as a bike to work scheme, but it's what it says. It's bike to work. It's only for people who can avail of it who are working.
But if you're self-employed, you can still avail of it.
No, there's 345,000 people in the moment in Ireland that are self-employed. They can't do it.
If they have a limited company, they can.
If they have a limited company, yeah. But they're self-employed. You have to be PAYE worker.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. And that it seems a shame that those, that cohort are excluded because, you know, if ever there was an incentive, you know, again, the self-employed are... They shouldn't be ignored in this way. So I totally agree with you,
Bobby. It's not only self-employed; it's everybody. Like with all the infrastructure going in now to bicycle lanes, you can't move for a bike lane being built in Dublin at the moment. They have to be used. So we're building these bike lanes, and they're underutilized.
We have about 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So we have to incentivize people to get out on the bike. We've got to change the culture. So the Bike to Work scheme has been fantastic, but I would feel there need to be some other incentive to get people out on bikes.
Okay. Ryan, can I bring you back in at Penny Farthing Cycles? That's interesting what Michael says about the Bike to Work scheme. Can I ask you about mechanics, bike mechanics, getting qualified personnel? Is that one of the struggles that you have in the industry?
Absolutely. We're constantly looking for good mechanics. We pay the top rates and stuff like that, but it's just very hard to get good mechanics that will, you know, willing to work hard.
Where do you find them?
Well, advertising, you know, all sorts of things, but it's very, you put a lot of ads up and you get very little people applying, you know. So.
And are a lot of the people who are end up as bike mechanics, are they self-taught?
There's a lot of that. People leave school early sometimes, or people are just passionate about bikes and stuff like that. But it's all learning through experience. So when you do get them, you have to keep them. So I'm quite proud there. We have like four or five, and we have a really good team there that do the mechanics. So we tend to hold on to them as good as you can. Once you find someone good, you need to keep them happy.
Yeah. Simon, do you repair bikes?
Oh, we do. Yes, absolutely. Yes. And, you know, we are seeing the, like, I think there's always been, it's always been difficult to find good bike mechanics, but it's definitely become harder. It's become harder to find, you know, retail, really good retail staff as well. But on the bike mechanic front, definitely, like, there needs to be some sort of government initiative, I think, to help with the training, maybe some sort of apprenticeship scheme. Just to help to
yeah, because it sounds from
opportunity.
It sounds from what all three of you are saying that this is, you know, this is there are serious jobs here. So, you know, why not train up as many people as possible and let them avail of it, and everybody's happy.
Absolutely. And it has to be a career that people want, that they see as viable as well, Bobby. And you know, another challenge there is it is the housing. The housing crisis, obviously, I don't want to mention that too much because, you know, we're talking about cycling, but it does affect staff access to certain jobs because, you know, people, you know, need to live as well as work on something they're passionate about and that they love doing. Being a bike mechanic is a highly skilled role. It's a manual job as well, but you know, you just need a high skill level. Getting very technical with all the electronics coming in as well, and
yeah.
Bikes, and there's so many different systems that there's a few standards there that, you know, but they're changing all the time. It's a rapidly changing industry. And you know, I think we, to get to the next level, there are a lot of bikes being purchased, but we need to be able to support them as well. And, you know, if we can't get bike mechanics in the future, in the next generation of workers, then, you know, what are we going to do? You know,
so okay.
We need to be a bit proactive, I think, in this country, and even for retail workers, just to see retail as a career path.
Sure.
Not just another job that you do while you're...
Absolutely, sure. You know, make it a career and they will stay and develop. Michael, last word to you in terms of the future of the sector. You mentioned there about the infrastructure, particularly in Dublin. We've built, and some would say we've built far too much of it, but we're not here to debate that. But the infrastructure seems to be ahead of the market, which is almost unusual.
Yeah, it's probably coming from Europe, Bobby, to be honest with you. We have a directive from Europe. Europe wanted increase the kilometres travelled from 2019 to 2020. They want to double kilometres travelled on bike. Ireland have put a target of 500,000 additional active travel journeys by 2030. That's a big target. Like, that's a big target they have to meet. So again, go back. I think we need to change the culture. We need to incentivize people to get out on the bike. Ireland actually has a really good climate for cycling, believe it or not.
Yeah, like, is our climate that different to Holland or Germany in terms of?
It's certainly not. I mean, I go over to Amsterdam a bit, and it is. It rains every other day over there, but they all cycle, and that's their culture. They've been doing that since they were born. Like, they've been born on a bike, maybe.
Yeah.
We've got to change that. So, you know, I feel maybe if we start with the kids as well, if we get the kids more involved, it'll become part of their culture, you know. There's a lot of this starting up, and it hasn't really taken hold. These school trains, bike trains for primary school, where parents get involved, and they have a parent at the beginning, a parent at the back, and they go around stops and they pick up the kids on the bikes, and they all go to
great idea.
You know, it's a great idea, and that starts them on a bike. They're on a bike then that becomes part of the culture. And with the cycle lanes, it's much safer. It wasn't safe, let's say. The roads are too narrow in Dublin, but with the bike lanes that we put in, we really have to make use of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the point in building them if we're not going to use them?
Totally agree with you. And on that positive note, we'll leave it there. My big thanks to Michael Farron. He's the co-owner of Cycle Superstore, Ryan Hanratty from Penny Farthing Cycles, and Simon Worley, co-owner of the Edge Sports Superstore down there in Cork. Thank you all for a great debate on cycling and cycling sales. Cheers.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.